I just got to keep an eye on you, that's all.
That's where you want to set up, so you can't keep an eye on me, keep me straight.
All right, now that I made you feel uncomfortable, let's pray. And we'll just, if people come in, they sit all by themselves, motion them over or something, and we'll get them plugged in. Welcome to the mini-mester. This class has everybody from the middle schoolers up. Then they got the younger class up in the upper room. We're going to try and end a little bit early if I can see the clock. I lost my glasses this week. But they're going to be coming back in here. They'll all be holding onto a little rope so parents can grab their kids and so on. We'll try to be ready for that. That'll be quite a sight. Let's pray, and then we'll get to work. About quarter after we'll end. Yeah. Father, thank you that you have not left us strangers. You've not left us distant. But you've sent the Lord Jesus that we could become your family. We praise you for the wonder of the welcome to the table that you, like Mephibosheth, was carried to the table. So you carry us to the table, although we're weak and broken and undeserving. You invite us in, and more than that, you carry us in your arms. You draw us into deep fellowship with you. Would you use this class to further that and to help us to extend that not only to our church family, but well beyond, that people could see the communion we have and say, that's supernatural. Father, do that for our good and our joy. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you're coming on, if you're just coming in, you're a little bit, if you're a little late, sit with somebody else. We want groups of two or three. Eric, that's not going to work with you. And you can talk to yourself, but you need to sit with somebody so you can talk with them, all right? And we're going to start that right off. The class today is on hospitality, and I'm connecting that together with evangelism. You'll see that this is not working. You're still... We're fine here. He and his free attitudes. Boy, I got to watch those things, huh? So sit with a few other folks. And the first thing I want you to talk about is hospitality. I'll explain to you in a few minutes why I'm connecting the two. I think there's a significant connection. But could you turn to your neighbor for a minute and just talk about what is hospitality? So groups of two or three, you can turn around or move around if you like. How would you describe or explain hospitality? What is hospitality? So groups of three or four, answer that question. You guys get the question? Yeah. All right. All right, so I'm going to interrupt and I'll give you some more time in a little bit, but what are some of the things that you suggested? Maybe one of you groups put up your hand and give me an answer or shout it out. Opening your house to others. Did somebody have something different, something they wanted to add on? Yeah. Serving, okay. Yep. Anything else? Yeah, in the back. I can't see who you are, but I do. Mine are gone.
We said like sharing your own, what you have, your resources, and give somebody else comfort and care.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so sharing your resources, giving somebody else comfort, care. Good. Good. So why a class on hospitality? I should make you answer that, but one of the reasons is it's dear to my heart. But I think it's something that as a whole society, have really let slide. We're not good at this. It sort of slipped almost off the radar. There's a little, maybe for Christians, a little thing that says, you know, we should do this kind of caring for one another, inviting people over and so on. But hospitality is under duress. One of the things that struck me was just the shift in McDonald's. McDonald's is trying to be hospitable. Used to be you go to McDonald's and it had all the hard plastic, red, and I think it was white. And basically you ordered and you had a feeding trough and you had a dumping station. That was it. Now, it wasn't in the notes, but now you're their guest. And they've redone these places with fireplaces and it's like a cafe. And you go to the restroom and you be, what are they trying to do? They're trying to make you feel at home at McDonald's, for Pete's sake, at the dollar menu. Why? Because people are looking for that. Where else do you find it? We got to pay people now to be hospitable to us. We live in a world where it's my needs, it's my skin, it's me deserving. That's kind of the air we breathe. And we live a fairly closed world. Sit at the mall sometime and just watch people go by. It's me and my iPhone. And I've been asked this, don't call me, not from this congregation, but don't interrupt my life. A call is an interruption. We live in a very closed, I do this at home in the winter, just drive right into the garage, shut the door, neighbors. And we could ask that too, how many of us actually know our neighbors? So it's not just a church thing, but I think that the whole West has lost a significant aspect of this doing community together. There's lots of fears associated with it. Hospitality is also misunderstood. We equate it with entertainment. I'll ask you guys to chew on that in a couple of minutes. But it's also daunting. If you're coming in, sit with someone else. You want to be in little groups of two or three or four, because I have another question coming up. But Harry Reeder, he writes a lot about church planting and so on, says that hospitality is significant in terms of outreach. If I put that together with Tim Keller, Keller says most people just don't have Christian furniture in their minds anymore. They don't understand what justification is. They don't even know what sin is. And so if you're going to speak with them, you really have to do life with them. You have to walk along with them for a long time. And Reeder makes the point that a lot of these people come to church, and one of the easiest ways to walk along with them is to be hospitable to them. So hospitality has a significant impact on evangelism, but it's also for the church itself. In her book, I can't remember the title right now, that's too bad, but Rosaria Butterfield, she's only written two. The second one, she talks about how life is hard. Hebrews chapter 11, these guys are glorious saints, but some are sawn in two, walking around in sheep's clothing, they're making mistakes, and it's just tough. How do we do life together? Well, we're not meant to do it all by ourselves. We're given the community in which we're made to strengthen, encourage, cherish, build up, challenge. And how do you do that? It's really hard to do in a church setting because we're worshiping. That's not the point of it right there. It's that one-on-oneness. It's that smaller communities that we really build up one another. I can't remember the exact word she says, but that's really almost the key to maturing in faith. Jeremiah, you can't sit on that. So no, you're allowed to sit wherever you want. We're going to do a little group discussion, so sit with somebody else. And I just picked on him because I was peripheral. But good morning, by the way, Jeremiah. That's a better way to start. But then let me just finish with, as far as why this class, it's a biblical command. You have on your little outline, I forgot to tell you to pick them up. If you're coming in, sit with some other folks. Okay, record player. But on the outline, you've got 1 Peter 4. It says, show hospitality to one another, and it adds, without grumbling. Thanks a lot. But show hospitality. Hebrews chapter 13, don't neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. He's bringing your mind all the way back to Abraham and even to Lot, who give this splendid hospitality. And then Romans 12, contribute to the needs of the saints and seek or be eager to show hospitality. So those are a few of the reasons I want to do this class, both to grow us in evangelism as well as hospitality. And then one last kicker, I was just reading this last night. This lady here, Christine Pohl, P-O-H-L, says the best testimony to the truth of the gospel is the quality of our life together. That's a big deal. There's one more line there. The character of our shared life as congregations, communities, and families has the power to draw people to the kingdom or to push them away. How we live together is the most persuasive sermon we'll ever get to preach. Now, she clarifies that it doesn't replace preaching, but that just makes a powerful statement of how we live together as a church or as a family, makes a really powerful statement about what we believe about the gospel. Hospitality is at that core of the gospel. So we're going to get to that in just a minute, but I want you to turn to your neighbor again and just talk for a moment about what hospitality is not. What I want you to do with this is just contrast for a second the difference between entertainment, which is what most of us think hospitality is, although you guys gave really good answers this morning. But what's the difference between entertainment and hospitality? Contrast those two for a second. All right, so talk amongst yourselves, little groups of two or three or four. You can move around if you need to and have fun with that. Entertainment versus hospitality. What's the difference? All right, so the question was, what's the difference between entertainment and hospitality? Someone from the back half, tell me, what did your group come up with? How would you characterize the difference between hospitality and entertainment? That's from Jill back. Somebody, you know, dead silence. You were talking about something. All right, Joe, I'm going to pick up. What did your group say? Okay, good. So entertainment, the idea of being occupied, perhaps mind-numbing, not much of the idea of service. Hospitality, I think, was sort of hospital, the root word there, caring for, entertaining. Somebody else want to add something to that? Did I see a hand in the mid back there? I'm one of the back half. I see you. All right, go ahead. Go ahead, Eric. Nice and loud. Speak to them. I don't want to hear you. They do.
Basically, you know, hospitality, like we just hit on, you've got the entertainment factor. Come over, have games and pizza. What's the difference between what we're talking about and the Lions Club or Dallas Club, where they all get together and they have community, even though it's secular community? This is more, we're talking about more meeting needs, sacrificing time. Mm-hmm. You know, someone calls and you see the ID and you're like, oh, needy Nancy, I really don't feel like picking it up. But you do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good. So care, again, the word hospital, meeting needs, I think the contrast, just what's the difference between hospitality and just what other clubs and other societies do? There's a real investing, caring for the needy. That's a significant part of it. And I think that's good. Think in terms of the word hospital. What are hospitals good for? Well, they serve very well in giving care and compassion, fixing broken people. That's a big part of hospitals. And hospitality, that's actually its source. When people would travel, missionaries and so on, they needed somewhere to stay. That developed into sort of the idea of inns, places where people would stop to be cared for, nourished, protected, sent on their way. Those are key ingredients to the word hospitality. So hospitality is not the same as entertainment. It can be very simple. I remember somebody coming over for grilled cheese and saying that was the best hospitality I've ever had. It wasn't because of the grilled cheese. I'm sure it was really good. But It was the caring for. We want you here. We want to tend you. We want to invest in you. Hospitality is also not self-love. A lot of our fears focus on, I'm not good enough. What are they going to think about me? What are we going to talk about? My home's not. My situation's not. It's a lot about me. It's not about us. Hospitals aren't meant for the doctors or the nurses. They're meant to serve the other. And nor is it meant for, and some of you touched on this, it's not meant, Luke chapter 6, 27, 32 and so on, talk about loving your enemies. Don't love those who love you or give back to you, because everybody can do that. That this is nothing supernatural, but loving those who are different from you, loving the stranger, loving someone who's different from you. So that's what hospitality is not. What is it? So again, a group discussion. This will be a shorter one, I think, but you have a Greek word there on your outline, I believe. I divide it in half just for your pleasure. And it says what it is. So what is hospitality? Well, the Greek word is philoxenia. Philoxenia. Figure that out for a second. If you have no idea, which you're not supposed to, what are some words that are English but sound a lot like philo or xenia? And if you get stuck, are you guys all going, huh? Think of philosophy, Philadelphia, or xenophobia, if anybody knows what that is. All right, take a second, figure it out. Joel gave you a pretty good clue. I think they got to the root of it. But talk about that for a second, and then we'll look a little further. If you need to send a lifeline outside of your little group, that's fine. All right, who's worked something up for us? Somebody from the front half here. Who's got something for us? What's philoxenia? Yep, Karen.
Okay, so a love of others, love of the foreigner. Specify that Phileo was more of a brotherly love, so mm-hmm. It's a family love of someone outside of the family.
Yeah. So Philadelphia, the Philo is the love part. The Delphia thing is the brother thing. But yeah, so this love of the foreigner, xenophobia is being afraid of strangers or foreigners. So that's what the root is this love of strangers. And the scripture really plays on that. You see, that word is, well, it'd be in Hebrew, but I haven't seen the Hebrew word for hospitality, but you see it all the time. We looked at Hebrews very briefly. Remember entertaining someone, angels unawares. Remember Abraham? These strangers come by, and he runs out and he begs them, come in, come in, come in. I don't have much for you, but come in. He wants to show them hospitality. He says, hey, young lady, Sarah, could you cook up some bread? And he goes, gets the best animal. And he does all that stuff. And then he sits down after you serve them. What's going on? Who are you? Lot does the same thing. Lot includes protecting the angels who come. Tending them. We won't go into the whole story. It's just got some problems with what Lot does. But hospitality is throughout the Old Testament. In the New Testament, it mentions, I'm not going to go through all of these verses because I want to get to some other things here. But in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, we touched on that verse. It says, be eager or zealous to show hospitality. You see that in Abraham. 1 Timothy 5, women are to wash the feet of the saints. Talking about widows, I think it was the widows who should be supported by the church. Well, the idea of foot washing is a picture of hospitality, the depth of service, the depth of care. Hebrews, well, we already talked about him. And then chapter 4, verse 9 of 1 Peter talks about doing hospitality without complaining. So the gist of hospitality is stranger loving. One of the other dictionaries mentions, a Greek dictionary says this, it's to receive and show hospitality to a stranger, that is, someone who's not regarded as a member of the extended family or a close friend. This gets really scary, huh? I'd rather just have friends over at my house. To receive a stranger as a guest to show hospitality. Paul says in Acts 28, for 3 days they treated us kindly as guests. They didn't even know these guys. They brought them in. And that's particularly caring for missionaries. But there's that sacrificial, loving care for people you don't know very well. Amy writes in one of her books, hospitality is inviting people into our home, sharing our culture in service. And here I think you get the gist of one of the points of hospitality is to demonstrate Christ's work in us. What does a gospel community look like when people come to church? What does a gospel community look like? It's our culture in service of others, caring, tending, loving, serving, building up. So if a narrow definition, that's what I'm shooting for here on the first page there. What is philoxenia? A narrow definition, if I could put it myself, is it's inviting people into our home to love, care, and welcome them with the intent to build them up. There's purpose to it, to build them up, to mature them. And so I'd like you to take a minute and look at a chapter that we could probably spend a whole class on, Luke chapter 14. Turn there in your Bibles, and maybe I'll read some of the verses because you may not all have the scripture, but look at the whole chapter. And what I want you to be looking for is, are there, I don't want to say tips on hospitality, but are there principles of hospitality? Does it speak to the cost of hospitality? Does it give you the bigger picture at all of hospitality? And if so, what is it? So think in terms of hospitality. As we look at Luke 14, I'm going to read verse 12 to 24, Matthew, Mark, Luke 12. You'd think I know where Luke was. Luke 12. Oh, it's 12, it's 14. Well, that's not the right chapter. Luke chapter 14, there we go. So two more chapters down. Luke 14, and I'm going to read verse 12 to 24. And so put in your little memory, you're going to talk about this together in a couple of minutes. You're going to talk about what does this tell us about hospitality. Okay, Luke 14, verse 12. This is Jesus. He said to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors." Oh, man. Lest they also invite you and say they could pay for the steak, right? Lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. When you give a feast, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. When one of those who reclined at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God." But he said to him, "A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent a servant to say to those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said to him, 'I bought a field. I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and therefore I cannot come.' So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to the servants, 'Go out quickly to the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the poor and—'" What's that?
You're circulating.
Yeah, that's right. Move right. He's ready to answer. All right, I'm going to interrupt for a minute, and well, I'm just going to interrupt. Forget the minute part. And share a little bit with what you learned from this passage. There's a lot here. You could probably spend the afternoon looking deeper at it. I'm not expecting we're going to get everything from here, but Emily and Rachel, what'd you guys get? Yeah, the idea of compel them to come in, go out and find. If somebody can tell you about a need, it's very easy to just leave it there, but to pursue that idea of moving outward. Yeah, good. Someone else. We started with this side. How about that group of 15 in the back there? My wife's in there. I can pick on them. Anything you guys that struck you that you think is worthy of sharing? Go ahead, Liesl. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a real idea of sacrifice, of not putting, you know, let's have them over because this might happen, or their friends might become, their kids might become friends of my kids. But I think that becomes very clear in a different country where people can't pay back. And we're going to get to that, I think, a little further when we think of the broader idea of hospitality in just a minute. But Jesus talks about cups of cold water and visiting people in prison and as his examples of serving him in the form of other people. Yeah. One more, and then I'm going to move us forward. Anything else from the other group, the other side of the tracks? You guys should get together for hospitality. I'm just... Yeah, Rex. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's lots of room at the table. And the challenge then is in terms of hospitality and evangelism, not just inviting folks who have the same values as you, but the Lord has room for people of all kinds of different values to come to the table and to learn about him, to meet with his people. So I think that's a big part of hospitality and evangelism. And you see that clearly here. He's not saying invite all the others who are just like you, but the people who are not. A couple of the things you probably didn't get to. Right after this, Jesus talks about the cost of discipleship. Hospitality is costly. It is. It just is. And Jesus says, that's great, because that reflects me as I lay down my life so that you might come to the table. And then the underneath this whole thing is this idea of God's banquet. I'm sure that some of you touched on that, too. The idea of what's under hospitality? Well, God invited us, the stranger, to his banqueting table. He compelled us to come in. People were going out. You might say the disciples went out, grabbed us by the collar, says, you need to believe, brought us to the table. That idea of the Spirit working in us. That's what undergirds this whole thing. That's why hospitality is not just a thing we have to do, but no, we get to do, because that's been done to us in such a lavish way. So narrow definition. That's what we've been looking at. Broader. And I think this is Some of you have been hinting at this, but hospitality is really a heart disposition to care and love for those who are different than us. So narrow, you could say bring somebody over into your home, but you could look much more broadly in saying somebody comes to church and you don't know them. Oh, the hospitable person is going to, guess what? I'm going to move and greet them and care for them, tend them. A couple other examples is from a book by Deaver, if I can find it for a minute. Hospitality is not just invite people over for dinner, but it's much broader. So this is making it broader. It's a love of strangers. So think more broadly, not just invite people over for meal, but saying hello to strangers at church, attending a wedding of the person you don't know. In their church, something that really extended this was college students inviting families over for ramen noodles. And they just be all sitting on the college dorm bed and having dinner together. And that really moved their church in terms of hospitality, the sacrificial, otherworldly caring for people who are unlike you. And part of the reason high schools and you younger folks in here that I want you in here is because we all need to have this heart of not loving self so much, but looking for and trying to serve other people who might be different from you, who knows what they're like, who knows the things they like. They might like very opposite things of you. But there's that heart that moves toward the stranger because, well, now we'll get to the basis of it. That's exactly what God has done for us. So let's look for a couple of minutes at the basis of hospitality. Somebody look over at Exodus chapter 20. I think it might be chapter 22. Yeah, Exodus chapter 22, verse 21. We're just going to have to move fairly quickly on this part because we don't have 2 hours. The basis of hospitality, 2 main things, adoption, the doctrine of adoption, and the doctrine of union with Christ. So look for somebody read nice and loud for me, Exodus chapter 22, verse 21. And there's lots more verses. I listed some on your outline, but those ones, the whole idea of being an alien and a stranger. So does somebody have Exodus chapter 22, verse, I think I said 23, 21? Yeah, there we go. Okay. So, yeah, do not oppress an alien or a stranger, a foreigner, because you are a foreigner in Egypt. How does that help you in terms of looking at the basis of hospitality? How is that the foundation, even, of hospitality?
It goes back to how God has treated us.
Yeah. That's exactly right. It goes back to how God treated us. We ourselves were strangers. And you see it throughout the history of Israel. You see it come up many times in Scripture. 1 Peter picks up on that theme of once you were not a people, you were aliens and strangers. In some way, we still are. But now you are a people. Why? Because God adopted you. You had no right. You did not belong at all. And God in Christ comes to you and says, would you come to my table? Because Christ shows a perfect hospitality. He protects us by laying down his life. He provides for us a lavish feast, giving us all the gifts of the Spirit, even giving his own righteousness. And he gives us not just a momentary provision, but a sacrificial provision and an eternal provision. There is the foundation, this idea of being adopted into God's family. We had no right to the table. We're going to have Lord's Supper this morning if we get it set up. Anyway, sorry. It's just a kind of funny moment from last week. But I wish I was there. Where was I? Right, adoption. Let me read you a couple, I think, poignant quotes from Mrs. Butterfield. It's a fun name, Butterfield. Oops. Sorry, these things pop in my head. But adoption established my identity in Christ, my inheritance through Christ, and my mission because of Christ. We were orphaned children. We were orphaned image bearers, right? Orphans have no family, no rights. They don't belong. They're cast-offs. Orphaned children, orphaned image bearers, who lose the status of orphan through permanent sonship. Adoption is the only way into the gospel. You can't earn your way. You can't pay somebody enough to adopt you. You can't. God adopts you, the foreigner, and brings you in at the cost of someone else. And so adoption moves us toward worship. And so the payoff in some ways, well, the payoff is we're in the Lord's family. That is big news. That's wonderful. Where we belong, we'll hit that a bit in the sermon today too. But the three principles in that idea of the doctrine of adoption undergirding hospitality is that we all can relate to the idea of being a stranger, being an alien, because we all were. Each of us can identify with the alien and the stranger. We too have been called aliens and strangers. So when you see that stranger, that person you don't know, think in terms of, right, that was me. And for many of us, it once was. We all have entered situations where we knew nobody. Well, that's how the Lord drew us in. So we can identify with the alien and stranger. We're to imitate God, our ultimate host. And then we're called to minister to the needs of the whole man, moving toward them and caring for them. So the foundation or the root is God's receiving sinners at his table, being the stranger lover to Israel and Egypt. And so I put a little quote there. I guess it's not a quote if I read it myself, is it? Bottom of page one, the heart of hospitality is rooted in the church's, in the church community's appreciation for God's radical hospitality that flows out in a rich love for building up God's people and seeking to bring more orphans to God's table. So you've got hospitality and evangelism connected there, but it's rooted in our appreciation for our response to God's adoption of us. If you flip the outline for a moment, I want to look at the second. What's that? Thank you. 3 minutes. Well, that'll be interesting. Look for a minute at the Westminster Confession of Faith there. Look at the doctrine of union with Christ. Another aspect of the what undergirds hospitality is our communion with Christ. I'm going to read that, and you'll probably come back to this in just a moment. So union with Christ, all saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head. So by faith, we're grafted into the vine. That's the idea of union with Christ. All saints that are united to Jesus Christ, their head, by his spirit and by faith, have fellowship with him in his grace, sufferings, death, resurrection, and glory. And, being united to one another in love, they have communion in each other's gifts and graces, and this is strong, and are obliged to the performance of such duties, public and private, as do conduce to their mutual good, both the inward and outward man. So again, we're grafted into Christ, his family, and that means that we are all brothers and sisters and in the Lord Jesus. And we owe each other the fellowship we have with Christ. We owe that same caring and serving one another that he does with us. So I want to close the class. Well, I better first do this. Look at the very bottom of page two, and we're going to go back up. So this is a little bit backwards. But there's three challenges there, four. Two, I'm going to, and one, I think. I'm not going to make you close your eyes and raise your hands to commit to this, but I probably could. It wouldn't be a bad idea. Maybe it would. But look at those for a second. In terms of hospitality, we're going to get to the really practical, what do we do in class three? But we're going to start today. So I challenge you to make these your own. I'm going to pray for an opportunity to show hospitality to someone. And then to ratchet just a little further up, perhaps you'll commit to this one as well. I'm going to make the first move towards someone this week. That's sort of the broader definition of hospitality. Not just praying for an opportunity, but I'm going to seek for and make that that first move of greeting somebody or calling somebody, whatever it might be. And just a little further yet, I'm going to get a date on the calendar to meet with someone, sort of that more narrow definition. And then maybe just something to think about. What heart issues hold you back from being more hospitable? Now, I wanted to read those because otherwise I just will forget, and I want you to be challenged by those things. But in your little groups, and we'll do this until the kids come in. When the kids come in, I'm just going to cut you guys off, and you're just going to have to, that'll be the end of class, okay? We'll come back to these things and review them next week. But talk for just a couple of minutes about the goal of hospitality. What's the point of showing hospitality? You've hit on some of those things. There are some verses there that you can look up, Matthew 25, Romans 12, 3 John verse 8, and you can look at the larger catechism as well. But there's probably five or six goals of hospitality. Some are really huge, and others are very simple. Take a few minutes and just talk together. What's the point of hospitality? What does God want us to be doing through hospitality? I don't mean cooking food for people, but what's the goal? Does that make sense? Okay, so take a few minutes and talk in your groups, and I'll keep an eye for the kids when they come in. We'll just wind this down, all right? If you're stuck, just use some of the texts that are listed.